on the note of lyrics this morning. The Lord of the mountain is the God of the valley. We just sang that this morning, didn't we? But do you believe it? I'm going to test you this morning if you really believe that. Or, bless the Lord, O my soul. On that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near, my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending. Will it? You sang it, but will it? That's what we're talking about this morning. I wish I could say that our faith just grew linearly, like every year, right? We could just count on it, that our faith is going to grow straight up, just like an oak. And every year you could count on it, it's going to go this much further, it's going to get this much broader, and it's going to get this much stronger. But you can't really count on it, can you? Faith doesn't really grow linearly. My existence has been, it's kind of a bit more of an ebb and a flow, kind of like the tide. It comes in, it goes out, it comes in, it goes out, and as time goes on, you get big waves, you get small waves, but a coastline forms. And it keeps doing this over time until a hurricane sweeps through, and all of a sudden, it gets formed in ways that maybe we wouldn't have chosen it to get formed. Right? This summer, we were at the beach and out on a pier, and there's an individual who was just, he was fishing, and we got into a conversation. I didn't say this in the first service, but I was hoping to give me some tips on fishing, because I wanted to catch some fish. But what we wound up talking about is how much further this pier we were standing on used to extend into the ocean. And if you were to look up the coast, the pier that we could just barely see used to extend much further into the ocean. And I said, well, what happened? And he said, well, a hurricane came through. And I was like, you're kidding me. Well, what did it do? And he said, well, it came through and it snapped off that pier way up there. And then it rolled and tossed and destroyed the coast all the way down until it hit this pier that we're on. Took that out and kept rolling down the coast until it went out to sea. Now, have you ever had a life experience where it feels like you just had a hurricane come through and it just devastated your coastline? Where you come back and you look at it and you say, this will never look the same again. It might. We can do some work here and get some things. But there's some permanence here. This hurricane just did a lot in my life, and those are the moments that can we still sing? But the God of the mountains is still the Lord of the valleys. How do we in those times grow in our faith? How do we in those times maybe not even lose our faith? Right? How do we not walk away from the beach to never return? That's what we want to talk about this morning. And to do that, we're going to be looking at John chapter 4. And this is a little miracle that happens. We're more familiar with John 4 because of the woman at the well, right? But there's this little miracle that happens right after that. And we want to look at that this morning. So if you will, feel free to turn open to John 4, verse 46. I'm going to read from the NIV this morning instead of the NRSV. I like the translation a little better. And it says this. Once more he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine, and there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. Unless you people see signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you'll never believe. The royal official said, Sir, come down before my child dies. Go. Jesus replied, your son will live. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. While he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, yesterday at 1 PM, the fever left him. Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, your son will live. So he and his whole household believed. This was the second sign Jesus performed after coming from Judea to Galilee. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Father, we ask that this word would go deep, 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 deep within us. Father, that if there is something that where we're at right now, we need to hear this, that you'd speak to it. But Lord, if it is for a time that just needs to get stored away, that you'd store it. But we want to just be closer to you by the time we're done. We want to have more faith in you after this than we do right now. But only you can do that, Jesus. I'm not going to pretend like I can do that. It's the power of your word speaking into our hearts. And so, come Holy Spirit, glorify Christ in our lives. Jesus, we pray this in your name. Amen. Well, to tackle this whole piece on how do we grow in times of storms, hurricanes, of crisis, of heartache, we're going to look at somebody who is in their own storm, hurricane, crisis, heartache, right? I think it's easy when we read through the Gospels, you kind of get one person after the next that needs Jesus, right? And Jesus meets them, and you're like, I'm not surprised, because he always does. And yet, it's easy to blow right past the person that's standing right in front of Jesus. And I don't want to blow past the person that's standing in front of Jesus, because this person is a father. I think he's at the end of his rope. I think he's desperate. The reason I say this is because our text says, and there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him. He begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. I say this with all humility. I've never begged for anything in my entire life. I don't know what that feels like to actually humble yourself to the point that you would just, everything you've got, you throw it right on the line and just say, would you do this? Otherwise, it can't happen. That's a humbling feeling. I've never had to beg for anything for my child. Ever. And yet here's a man who has come 16 miles from Capernaum, and he is begging for the life of his son. Do you think he is in a storm? I think he is. I think he's in dire straits here. We don't really have to use our imaginations too hard to get where he's at. And based on Jesus' response that we're about to get, I don't think this guy is looking at Jesus through the lens of, you know, Messiah, Lord. Not like Nicodemus was last week. Remember Nicodemus? You know, he's coming to Jesus because he's like, something's up with this guy. God's on this guy. I got to know what's going on here. I think this official, he's just heard the stories. And he knows that this Jesus guy somehow, some way, can actually just heal people. He can just heal them. And so he's coming in and he's saying, please just heal my son. Heal my son. Please heal my son. And Jesus replies to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe. Well, the royal official said, sir, come down before my child dies. Now, Jesus is speaking to everybody when he says that. It's not just to this guy, it's to every one of them. It is that, you know, the Greek form of y'all right there. So, y'all will never believe. That's what Jesus said. We just don't have enough class to translate it like that in our Bibles. But I think Jesus is setting this guy up for an encounter that he has no idea what's about to happen. Has no idea what's about to happen. That this honest, desperate, hopeful father is about to encounter the Lord, the living God. That kind of doesn't surprise us, because I bet we could testify on our own accord that we've had these moments, and it's amazing what God does when our backs are against the wall, when it feels like there's nothing left, and then he meets us in a way that we couldn't have even set up our hearts for. I was having a conversation once with a pastor, one of those just wise pastors, you know. And when I talk, I'm going to arrive at a point at some point, right? But I'm going to keep talking until I get there, okay? He was one of those guys that when he speaks, it's measured. People get quiet. They want to hear what he's going to say next. And we were having a conversation about why does God do the things he does in prayer? And it was kind of one of those hard conversations because God doesn't always do what we want. And he begins to speak, and this is what he says. He said, in all my years of ministry, this is what I've noticed. That sometimes, in his sovereignty, God will not do what you ask him to do. And sometimes, in his sovereignty, he will do exactly what you asked him to do, to a T. And sometimes, in his sovereignty, he will do things that you never asked him to do. All of which because he is faithful. Sometimes he'll do things, he won't do what you asked him, he will do what you asked him, and then he'll do things you never would have dreamed to ask him, which I bet of if we could see our eternal tally, that third one has a lot of check marks in it. All of which because he is what? He's faithful. He's faithful. In this account, we're going to see God do all three. He's not going to do what he wants. He is going to do what he wants, and he's going to do something bigger than he could have ever asked for. And it starts right here. This official is asking Jesus to do two things. First, he's saying, would you heal my son? But then what does he want him to do to heal his son? He wants him to come, right? So he's got a what, and he's got a how, right? This is what I want you to do, God, and this is how I think you should probably do it. We never do this, right? Jesus, I really want you to do this. And in my mind, you would do it like this. We never do this. Sir, come and heal my son. Is he going to go? Is he going to go 16 miles to Capernaum, lay hands on his son and heal him? He's not. Sometimes God in his sovereignty does not do what we ask him to do. More on that in just a moment. Because this remarkable thing is he is going to also do what he asks him to do. Right? He's going to heal his son. But once again, I think he's setting him up for something so much bigger. Because right after the official asks a second time, what does Jesus tell him to do? You go home. Your son will live. You go home. Your son will live. Now, I don't want to belabor this man's faith too much. It's not what the sermon's about. I don't even know how much he really had coming into it. But I'm going to be totally honest with you. If I went to see a surgeon about getting a procedure, and that surgeon says, we can do this. Why don't you just go home? I'll heal you from here. I'm going to say, you are the worst doctor ever. And if it's my child, I might say more than that. Amen? Because that's not how it works. I'm here right now. I don't think this guy was outlandish to think Jesus would need to come to his house. I mean, if you're going to heal him, probably need to be in the same room. This is not too crazy of a request. And yet, Jesus simply, basically tells him that, you know, he's good. Will you go home? Will you go home? Now, I don't know if he had to sit there for a minute and just take it in and be like, will I? I don't know. This defies logic. I am asking a man to heal my son, though, through means maybe he was just like, got it, I'm out. We don't know. But what we do know, and the text tells us this, is that for the first time ever, this man chose to believe Jesus for what he says. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. He took him at his word. Jesus said, this is who I am. This is what I'm going to do. Will you believe me? Here's my thoughts on this. You can take it or leave it. But this is my reading of this text. But I believe that the Son of God did not have a problem walking 16 miles to heal a a child. I don't think that was an issue. He's done it before. He'll do it again. You know, he has no problem going somewhere to take care of somebody. But I think in his faithful sovereignty, Jesus knew that this man, and therefore his son, needed more than physical healing. And so he invites this father into a moment of, and it's this is his father's crisis. This is his hurricane moment. His coast is getting wrecked right now. And he invites him into a moment of faith. Will you have faith to do this? Jesus is going to put his power on such displays. You know, I'm not going to put mud in his eyes. I'm not going to touch him. I'm not going to stick my fingers in his ears. I'm just going to call it from 16 miles away. He's healed. Do you believe me? Do you believe me? And what does the man do? He takes Jesus at his word. And I believe that this moment sets up this man's heart to see Jesus in ways that he could not have seen him a few minutes earlier. Because as he's going back, his official meets him along the way, right? Or his servant meets him along the way. And what does he tell him? Your son's healed. He's healed. And once again, I was telling the first service this, I wish the Bible would tell us what the guy did right there. Does he just fall into the ground weeping? Does he just start dancing and just shouting hallelujah? What's he do? I don't know. But whatever he does it, and then there's this moment where he goes, wait a minute. When did it happen? And he says, right at 1 o'clock. And the guy goes, oh. Because what happened at 1 o'clock? It's the very hour that Jesus said, go home, your son will live. And what's the product of that moment? So he and his whole household believed. Sometimes God in his sovereignty will do things that we never asked him to do because he is faithful. I want you to tell me, what was the greatest healing that happened that day? The physical healing or the relational healing to God that this man and his whole family experienced that will never lead to death or sickness that eternity cannot conquer? Which one was it? The last one. Amen. Amen. Obviously. Obviously. It happened to be the one that he never asked for. I remember one particular Sunday morning at a previous church, we were praying for this wonderful individual. And they had a very aggressive form of cancer. And so this was the church really coming together in faith, aching for healing. And it was beautiful. I mean, everybody got out of their pews. They left their assigned seats. You know God's at work if Presbyterians are getting out of their assigned seats. I was feeling it. Everybody's feeling it. We're gathering around this individual. Hands are out there. We're praying, and we prayed, and people prayed, and it was beautiful. And you just feel, I mean, I was feeling it. I was like, God's doing something here. It's obvious that Jesus is having them. You know, I'm already in my head thinking like, this is going to transform the church. This is going to change everything. I'm so excited. And we're praying. And I'm like, here it comes. And we said, amen. And she didn't feel anything at the moment, but we were like, that's okay. And I kept checking in, nothing yet. And so as the days went on, I would just check in with this individual, and they kept saying, nothing yet, nothing yet, no, nothing yet. Still pain, still losing strength, still have cancer. And this was an individual, they had just retired, and had been battling this for a couple years. I went to their house to visit, and They're smiling ear to ear. And I just thought, okay, here it comes. This is what I've been waiting for. And they just started with, "He hasn't healed me. He hasn't healed me. But I just need to tell you, I have more peace than since that time of prayer. I have had more peace than I've ever experienced. And I have more peace, most definitely, than I have experienced in this stage of cancer." And it was so obvious. I mean, they were exuding it. It was just all over their face. This person had been touched by the Father in a meaningful way. He was walking with his child through this, and you could see it so obviously. And at the center of it was just, it was God's faithfulness to this person. And I couldn't believe it at the time, because our conversations up to that point hadn't led to that moment. I mean, it was so different than what I had expected. And if you've ever been face to face with somebody that says, "I'm ready," it is a weird feeling. It's almost disorienting. Somebody says, "I'm ready. I'm ready to be with my Lord. I want to be with my Lord. I'm done here." And yet, it's so joyful. And it's a joy that it's almost like you want to join them in it, but you can't yet. You haven't been given that grace. And yet they have it right there. They're bathing in this faithfulness of God in their lives. God didn't answer that prayer the way we wanted it answered. But I'll tell you what, He was nevertheless faithful. I didn't get to tell the first service this, but I'll tell you all. We sat there for the rest of that time and plotted at how we were going to share the gospel with the rest of that person's family, who has nothing to do with faith. And they all showed up. And it was, to this day, is one of the memorial services that I just look back on and think, I hope they can all go like that, because the gospel was on full display in this person's life. And it was just, and that's all they wanted. This is my last ditch effort to reach my family. It was amazing. It was amazing. And yet, I know you've been asked this question. I've been asked this question. If God is so good, if God is so faithful, then why does He allow suffering to begin with? Why do I have to go through these hurricanes in my life? And I have to be honest, it's one of my absolute favorite questions to talk about the Lordship of Christ, because it brings you face to face with Jesus. Of all the questions, you get the big questions. Where did dinosaurs come from? You don't get face to face to Jesus like you do with, why does He allow this to happen? And this is why. Because of all the moral philosophies and all the religious traditions out there, their answer to suffering is this: it happens. Deal with it. You can't avoid it. You will have to suffer. That's just part of the world we live in. And if you can get through it, great. If you can't get through it and it's the end of your days, well, then it will be over at some point. But that's the grand answer. You're going to have to suffer. Deal with it. And everyone says that except one. Except one, that in Jesus Christ, we have a suffering servant, not one who stands at a distance. We have one who went to the cross on our behalf. We have one who was crucified on our behalf, who suffered on our behalf, because He was and is faithful. That in Jesus Christ, we don't simply have a God who allows suffering and stands back and watches it from a distance, but He engages it and walks with us through it. That our hope is built deeply on that. That when we have hurricane seasons where the storms are brewing, that, we sang this song back in the other service, "On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." You know what? Nobody else has a rock to stand on in the room except those who are claiming Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It is all sinking sand. Unless the suffering servant is the one who walks with you through all of it. And he does it because he's faithful. Has been, always will be. And that when we're in our storms, here's the answer. That when we're in our storms, how do we grow in faith? We lean deeply into his faithfulness that's revealed in the word. We lean deeply into the faithfulness that is revealed through testimony. I'm telling you what, y'all, if something happens in your life and God does something, I hope you'll let me know, because we need to share it. People need to hear what God's doing in your life. It is salve to wounds. I promise you. If you belong to the community of God and he does something, he might not just be doing it for you. We need that testimony. But we also lean into the activity of God in our own lives. When God does something amazing, if you're a journaler, you journal that, you know how beautiful it is to go back through your journal, especially when you're in those storms, and just look at all the things God has done. You can say, Lord, I can't see the rock right now because the storm is just blasting me in the face, but I'm still standing, so I know you've got to be there. And I don't know if this, I know there were some folks in the first service that said this, but I want to offer it to you guys in the second service. As I was concluding, working on this sermon, I just said, Lord, what is there just anything you need to say to folks this Sunday that I'm just missing? And the words were just so clear, and that is, I'm with you. Someone needs to just hear that this morning. I'm with you. I see your storm. I'm with you. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we just want to recognize this morning, whether we're in a storm or not, or we know somebody who is, Jesus, we want to cling so close to you that whether we feel like the waves are battering us at this very moment, or we know that at some point this world just brings waves because that's what it does, that our foundation is you. That your faithfulness is bigger than us. Lord, we sang it right when we began, that the Lord of the mountains is the God of the valley. Jesus, it's hard to believe that sometimes. So where we're struggling, help us. But we want to declare, where we lack faith, we ask that you'd give it. Where we need that ability to just to say, go home, okay, I'll do it. That you would give us that kind of faith, the kind of faith that just says, how could I say no to Jesus? Lord, help us. We depend on you, we rely on you, all our trust is in you, because you were so faithful to us before we could ever be faithful in return. And you've shown us that over and over again. Christ, it's in your name we pray. Amen.